You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere. Here are your hosts, Richard Justice and Allison Footer.
I am Richard Justice of MLB.com. This is MLB.com, the Extras, the Los Angeles Dodgers. I'm joined by Allison Footer. Allison, the Dodgers are cruising along in first place. We'll talk to Ken Gernick later. They are cruising along. They have two of the dominant starting pitchers in baseball. They have Matt Kemp back to himself, and yet they have a world of problems, a world of hurt, if you ask them, with Josh Beckett struggling, Dan Herron struggling, Paul Mahalam gone for the season, the bullpen being taxed. Isn't it strange the season we're in, where you look at the standings and what we see from the outside is probably the club is probably worried sick. I guess this is just the era of baseball we're in.
Yeah, and because when you have the two of the best pitchers in baseball on your team, you think that everything is, you know, you can get through just about anything. But what it really means is that they probably can't get through more than a short series in October with the two struggling starters, and certainly Josh Beckett. That's got to be a really, really big concern right now. So, I mean, that's a tough division, and most teams would like to be in this situation, have these kind of problems. But the Dodgers, every time I read about them, they just all seem to be biting their nails.
We're joined by Ken Gernick of MLB.com. Ken, you used the phrase in your story today or yesterday, crisis mode. And Ned Colletti was off to the minor leagues looking for pitching. Let me ask you, first of all, what's the hope for them getting Josh Beckett straightened out, Dan Herron straightened out? I take it Beckett is really hurting, really trying to pitch through a hip injury.
Yeah, they have different problems, obviously. One is just in a slump, but Dan Herron, at his age, with what he's got left, he doesn't have the velocity that he can just overpower people. So he has a very small margin for error. When he makes a mistake, is very hittable. So that's one problem they have. He's lost five in a row. Beckett actually is still fairly effective, considering the fact that he needs season-ending surgery and he's not going to have it. So they were hoping, and he's had this problem really all year. This is a degenerative problem that just gradually has gotten worse and worse. But in the first 2 months of the season, it didn't seem to affect him. He was having a great comeback from his thoracic outlet surgery, the removal of a rib, and he really looked like a comeback player of the year candidate. But he aggravated this hip thing, and they've given him an injection. They put him on the DL to rest him for a couple weeks. Nothing's really helped. He shows flashes of capability. He'll strike four guys out in a row, but then he says he can't repeat his delivery, so then he'll walk three or four guys in a row. And that's really because of the discomfort he's got in this left landing hip, and there really is no solution for it. So, they're not complaining about the days that Kershaw pitches and Greinke pitches, but they can't pitch every day. And so, one of the real underlying problems is their farm system has not developed enough pitchers to rise up through the system and be able to fill in situations like this. So they keep hoping that these two guys will be able to get it together, and hope is not working out as a real good strategy right now.
So Ned is going to the minor leagues just to look around and say, oh, I think that guy, he could help us. Is it that simple?
Well, I don't think he's expecting to find anyone really to help. He knows who's in his system. But you never know. Somebody might be able to plug him in for one or two starts. What he really is hoping is that through waivers, he can land a couple pitchers, a starter and a reliever. And so what he really sees is two different problems. He really needs another starter, at least one, but he also needs another reliever because he's got some weak links in the bullpen too. So he'd like to get two pitchers. He tried to do that at the trade deadline, but trying to do that and then draw a line in the sand saying I'm not going to trade any of my top prospects in this market, it just didn't work.
It seems kind of odd that just with the top prospect topic, it seemed like everyone was talking in the past year like, oh, these young guys are at a premium and the prospects that are premium, they're more valuable than ever. And now you sort of see that maybe there's not so much placed on them in other organizations. I mean, I didn't see a lot of, like, well, we're absolutely not getting rid of these guys. And the Dodgers are really one of the teams that's going to hold, you know, hold fast onto these guys. What do you see a trend there at all?
Well, I mean, the only thing from the outside, because it really didn't involve the Dodgers, is a lot of these teams that didn't trade prospects, you had, I think, in some cases, maybe not with the Red Sox, but in some cases, teams that still felt they were in the race. And so while they might be trading a player they figured to lose in free agency in a year or two anyway, they wanted to get back a player who was ready to play in the major leagues right now because they still got a shot, you know, at a wild card. That wild card, that second wild card now creates a problem for the trade deadline because too many teams feel they're still in the race. So they're not going to wave the white flag and be willing to just take on kids. They still want to try to win. So then you wind up having veterans traded for veterans. You know, and maybe their contract or free agent status was the differential. The Dodgers were willing to trade marginal prospects, but not their best prospects, because they just don't have that many of them. They don't have a surplus. And they certainly don't have a surplus of ready-made players on the major league level, or they wouldn't be looking to make a trade. And so they were in a tough spot, and that's really why they weren't able to complete a deal.
Ken, gut feel, what do you think he'll try to do? He'll try to get a veteran guy for the back of the rotation. I mean, it looks like they're good enough to pitch and play in October. They got to get to October. What do you think will happen?
Well, I think, you know, the key to the Dodgers is that they're in the NL West. So, you know, you don't have to play 700 ball to win this division. You know, the Giants are barely staying alive, you know, with their injuries that they've had. So, and the other three teams are out of it. So, you know, I think that they feel, they won't say this, but they feel they're going to make it to October, and these trades that they're thinking of making are really to get them past that first and second round and get into the World Series, which is, you know, a bar they haven't cleared since 88. So I think that's why they feel that while a starting pitcher would be good, they've got three pretty good starting pitchers for the postseason. They feel they need relief pitching more than anything. Now, if they can't get either Herron or Beckett back on track in the next start or two, then I think you'll see them trying, you know, just as hard to get a starter as they will a reliever.
Well, let's end this on a little bit of a happier note. Vin Scully just announced that he's coming back for a 66th season, so that created a bit of a stir. Was there any feeling like that he wasn't going to come back? Was he just kind of waiting to see how he was feeling toward the end of the season before he made any decisions?
He does that every year, at least he has for the last 5 or 6 years, is that he, at some point during the year, he decides that he feels good enough. He's always said it comes down to his health. And, you know, he's up into his 80s, so that's a concern for anybody at that age. He's cut back quite a bit as far as the travel goes, but he still does all the home games and the games in California on the road. And it's usually, this decision came a little sooner than usually. He usually does it in August or sometimes in September. This one came at the end of July. Whenever it comes, the city of Los Angeles rejoices. He's probably the most beloved figure in this city in my lifetime. And so there's no negatives when Vin Scully says he's coming back next year.
It's hard to believe that he's turning 87 this year. I mean, when you see him, he's just got a vibrancy of a man much younger. I know that the age is what it is, but I guess, I mean, why would you ever want to retire from this job? I would imagine that he's going to do it as long as he possibly can, and hopefully, you know, I mean, I've seen people his age that haven't held up quite as well, so.
Well, anyway. And that's what he says, as long as he feels okay. And you talk about crisis mode, the Dodgers will be in a crisis the day they have to replace him.
I can't even imagine.
Well, we feel that way about you and appreciate your time, and we'll talk to you soon. Thank you, Ken.